First of all, let me thank you and thank the APHA for accepting our presentation. We're very excited about being able to present this work. And just to give you a little bit of background on how it started, we have worked with a series of substance abuse treatment centers looking at results from the GAIN instrument. And what we found is that the African American and the children of color's outcomes were consistently different from their other race counterparts. And the question was, why is this? Why are these outcomes not as successful in African-American adolescents and mixed race adolescents? So we undertook a series of research analyses to really look at what could be some of the variables and the determinants of the outcomes. We wanted to examine this in a culturally specific manner. Oh, I'm supposed to read this. I have no personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation that existed during the past 12 months, and I have no relationships to disclose. Okay. When we started looking at the different variables that were assessed from the GAIN, and when we started looking at them from a racial specific approach, what we started determining was that there are very different variables that are affecting the outcomes of these children in treatment. One of the things that we questioned was stress and lack of social support linked to substance abuse and substance abuse outcomes in different ways. We know that stress is a contributor to the initiation and the continuation of substance use, as well as to relapse after periods of abstinence. In the very same way, social support plays a very large role when we talk about treatment outcomes. When you look at decreased patient therapist bonding and collaboration, hence you get unsuccessful outcomes. They also tie into increased substance use and decreased mental health, and an increase in patients dropping out from treatment. Thus, stress and social support have significant treatment implications among substance abusers. What we wanted to do in this particular study was we wanted to examine differences in the sources of perceived stress and social support among the diverse groups of adolescents entering the substance abuse treatment programs. And we wanted to examine the relationship between stress, social support, substance abuse, and co-occurring problems in these groups. We used data that we collected from 12 to 17-year-old adolescents. Our N was 4,916, who entered federally funded substance abuse treatment programs. The mean age of this sample, this population, was 15.6 years of age. 27% of the respondents were female, 53.3% were white, 19.4% were black, 15.3% were Hispanic, and 12.1% were mixed race. And we looked at data collected via the Global Appraisal of Individual Needs from the years 1998 to 2006. The variables of interest that we looked at in this study included sources of stress, mainly a major change in housing, a new job or school, hard work and school schedule, transportation problems, and discrimination. We also looked at sources of social support, the professional counselor relationship, colleagues at school, family members, non-school friends, and other trusted individuals. We used race and ethnicity as our independent variables, and the control variables included age, gender and education, socio-environmental risk factors, substance abuse, mental health symptoms, and criminal behaviors. We did a series of analyses looking at the descriptive and bivariate comparisons to describe the racial and ethnic differences in sources of stress and social support. We used logistic regressions and OLS regressions to examine the associations of perceived stress and social support with substance abuse and co-occurring problems. Here's what we found. Amongst the respondents and the participants, the most common past year sources of stress were death of a family member and a close friend, with 33.3% of the adolescents reporting that. The health problem of a family member or close friend, and fights with teachers, classmates, and boss or coworker. The least common sources of stress were discrimination in school, work, or transportation. birth or adoption of a new family member, an interruption or loss of housing, job, school, or transportation. When we looked at these top five perceived stressors by race and ethnicity, what you'll see is that for the Black adolescents in treatment, 38.1% of them said that death was the largest, the top social stressor. And 38.9% of the mixed race adolescents in treatment said that death were. For health problems, that was the highest perceived stressor in the white adolescents in treatment. And also for the mixed race, those levels were very similar to the death. When it came to fights, we found that again, mixed race adolescents, that was the highest perceived stressor for that particular category, with the second group being the whites. And also for relationships, the same pattern emerged there. Hard work, that was a higher response for whites and the mixed race. But for the African-American adolescents in treatment, death was the highest perceived social stressor for them. Okay. Now when we compared the, when we did an odds ratio and compared and looked at the minority adolescents' sources of perceived stress compared to white adolescents, what we found were there were some very significant differences here. We looked at new family member, that was a very significant, health problems for, we looked at Blacks, mixed race, and Hispanics, relationship problems, deaths, fights for the Hispanic adolescents in treatment, housing problems was also significant for the adolescents in treatment. When we looked at new positions or school, for the African-American adolescents and the Hispanic adolescents, hard work, that was significantly different from whites. Transportation problems, not for African-Americans and mixed race, but for Hispanics. Discrimination, no difference, no significant difference when we compared it to whites. Threat of loss, interruption and loss, and witnessing stressful events. Certainly for the African-American children, that there was a significant difference there. When we looked at racial, when we summarized the racial and ethnic differences in the perceived stressors, what we found is that Blacks were more likely than whites to report stress due to the addition of a new family member, deaths, and witnessing stressful events. Blacks were less likely than whites to report stress due to health and relationship problems, threats or actual loss of essentials such as housing or a new job, and a new position at school. When we looked at these, again, between Hispanic and white differences, Hispanics were less likely than whites to report stress due to health, relationships, housing, transportation problems, fighting, threats, or loss of essentials, and again, new positions at school or hard work and difficulty at school. Then we looked at the mixed race children, adolescents, and white differences. Mixed race adolescents were more likely than white adolescents to report stress due to an addition of a new family member, but they were less likely to report stress due to threat or actual loss of essentials, a new position at school, or hard work or difficulty at school. We also looked at the racial and ethnic differences in perceived availability of social support. We looked at the four groups in the past year on their perceived availability of social support from eight sources. The Black and Hispanic adolescents were less likely than the white adolescents to perceive availability of social support from almost all sources. The differences between mixed race and white adolescents were very limited. When we look at these differences by race and ethnicity, we asked about the perceived availability of social support. The white children across the board felt that for each of these different categories, except for the mixed race children on counselor and health providers, felt a higher level of perceived social support. if you look at the school people to talk to, the mixed race and the white differences are very similar, as in, you know, the homework health. The friends and other schools, that's very similar. But if you look at the African American and Hispanic adolescents, very, very much lower in terms of their perceived availability of social support than the white and the mixed race students. Here we have again other categories of social support. When we talk about, when we look at family, those differences are very similar. Those family to rely on, friends to hang out with, higher for whites and mixed race children. Other people to talk to, higher for whites and mixed race children. And for other people to help cope, that was also higher for whites children and mixed race children. When we looked at the minority's perception of availability of social support, we compared these to white by the black, Hispanic, and mixed race children. What we found again were the significant differences between the different categories when we compared these to white. For the black children and the black children in treatment, friends from other schools, that was again significantly different. People to talk to at school, people to help with homework, friends to hang out with, other people to talk to and other people to help cope. Again, for African American students, it was a significant difference, which you saw in the graph prior. Hispanic students, a counselor and health provider, friends from other schools, someone to talk to, someone to help with homework, somebody or family to hang out with. Those were all significantly different than when we compared those with the white. When you looked again, as we saw in the graph prior, not a lot of differences between the white kids in treatment and the mixed race kids in treatment. Only for friends to hang out with was there a significant difference there. When we look then at the association of perceived stress and support with substance abuse and co-occurring problems, when we looked at the combined sample, we found that perceived stress was positively associated with internal distress, behavioral problems, and criminal behavior. Perceived support was negatively associated with past 90-day use of substances and internal distress. And perceived support was also positively related to behavioral problems. When we did the race and ethnic group specific analysis, we found that there were similarities in perceived stress and internal distress, but there were differences when we looked at perceived support and substance use frequency among blacks and whites, but not with Hispanics and the mixed race adolescents in treatment. Here we have perceived stress. We looked at the different variables from by the four different racial and ethnic categories, and you can see where the significant differences lie. When we look at perceived stress and substance use problem, no differences there. Perceived stress and substance use frequency, no difference there. But when you look at perceived stress and internal mental distress, there are differences. Behavioral problems, certainly when you look at that, the perceived stress and the extent of behavioral and mental problems, you see the differences there with the black and the Hispanic populations as it relates to that. Criminal behaviors with the white adolescents in treatment, the black and the mixed race. When we looked at perceived availability of support and substance use problems, no differences. When we looked at the perceived availability of support and the substance use frequency, there were significant differences there. Only differences between the significant between African American students with when it relates to internal mental distress. Behavioral problems, there was a relationship between behavioral problems and perceived availability of support between the white, the black, and the Hispanic adolescents in treatment. But none as it related to criminal behaviors. In summary, we found that there were significant racial and ethnic disparities in the sources of perceived stress, but the patterns were not uniform. What we found is that black were more likely in some areas, but less likely in others, and the Hispanics were less likely when we looked at all areas of perceived stress. The blacks and Hispanics were generally less likely to perceive availability of social support as compared to whites, and there was limited difference between the mixed race and the white adolescents. This was very interesting to us because when we looked at how these children were referred to treatment, the majority of the African American children were referred through the criminal justice system, through some kind of way via school, but with the white children, they were referred by either family or parental support. So we thought that this was consistent. As it relates to relationships between perceived stress and availability of social support, this varied by outcome and by race and ethnicity. We found that perceived social support was negatively associated with substance use among blacks and whites, but not others. We also saw that perceived stress was associated with internal distress among all the groups and with externalizing behavior problems among blacks and Hispanics only. With relationship to the perceived availability of social support, this also may have an unexpected positive relationship when we looked at externalizing behavioral problems. We feel that sources of perceived stress and availability of social support and their relationships to substance abuse and co-occurring problems vary by race and ethnicity. However, they're very important components to look at when we're talking about targeting treatment that is effective and generates positive outcomes. So when these treatment programs are being planned, we feel that the planning of the programs and the implementation of the programs should really look at the perceived stress, the social support in helping to structure these types of programs to reach the optimal outcome levels. We feel that perceived stress, and based on the data and availability of social support, may ultimately impact the ability to abstain from drug use, the occurrence of comorbid mental health problems, and the adolescent's ability to connect with the treatment provider. And we hope that our future work may examine potential buffering effects of perceived support in the relationships between perceived stress and substance abuse and other co-occurring problems. We would like to gratefully acknowledge the GAIN Coordinating Center at the Chestnut Health Systems and the CSAT Adolescent Treatment Grantees for access and help with this pool clinical data. Thank you very much.
All right, give Dr. Jeffries Leonard another round of applause, please. Next up, we have Dr. Mesfin Mulatu. Dr. Mulatu is a research scientist with the Miotech Corporation, a Washington, D.C. area-based consulting and technical services company that provides applied social science research and evaluation services to public and private sector clients. He is located at the Miotech's Atlanta office. Dr. Mulatu holds a BA in educational psychology from Addis Ababa University in Ethiopia, an MA and a PhD in clinical psychology from the Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario, and an MPH in international health promotion from the George Washington University in Washington, D.C. Please help me in welcoming Dr. Mulatu.